Pasuk Chavez should be on the screen. Vayifnu Shamhu Anashim Elchu Sidom. The people, they turned and they went to Sodom. The Avraham Oidenu Oimelef Ne Hashem. They turned from there, they went to Sodom, and Avraham was still standing before Hashem. Okay, so the Malachim finished, they finished their first mission. The first mission was to make an announcement. To make an announcement that Sarah will give birth to a child. They're done. Now they're on to the next mission. The next mission is two things. Number one, well, I take it back. There were two missions. Number one was to heal Avraham. Really, there were two missions. One was to heal Avraham. The second mission was to make an announcement to Sarah that she will have a child. Okay, now we come to the next mission. The next, there are two more missions now. There are two more missions, and the next mission is to do what? Is to destroy Sodom and to save Lot. So it says here they've turned Anoshim, that they turned, and they went to Sodom. The Avraham Oidenu Amelef Ne'ashem. Avraham is still standing there. Now what is it all about? So Rashi says, let's see Rashi. Rashi here says, here we go. Rashi's words of Yifnu Misham Mimokoim Sha Avraham Livosham. Okay, so they turn from the place where Avraham is scored. It's very bizarre. Why do Rashi need to tell us that? We know in the previous post that Avraham Avinu, he escorted them. So of course, wherever Avraham stopped escorting them, so that's where they turned. That's where they continued on their merry way. I don't know. The Avraham Oidenu Milafne Hashem, Avraham was still standing. What does it mean that he's still standing? The word Oidenu means he's still there. What do you mean he's still there? Avraham never went to Hashem. Avraham went to escort the angels. The answer must be that is when Avraham, after he finished, he escorted the angels, Hashem came to him. And he said to him, Zakas Sedoim Va'amaroki Rabba. As we learned yesterday, that the time is Mil El, not Mil Ra, Rabba, and that's very important. It's Ma'akim in the Kriya Satorah. If they say the word wrong, you're going to watch the mayor, you're going to tell me, what does Yankee say? Does Yankee say Ki Rabba? Or does he say Ki Rabba? If he says Ki Rabba, you have to correct him, you have to do it again. Because it's a different word. Rabba means already, in the past tense. It already reached its peak, and Rabba would mean that it's current, it's in the present. So there's a big difference in the tense, and that's why we're mocking that it should be Ki Rabba. So he came to him. So this over here is a very, very dangerous one. We discussed in the Shir many times. These words, Tikun Soifrim Huze. What does that mean? Does that mean that the Rabbanon, they took a pen and a razor and they deleted words? They changed what it said in the Pasuk? They made an edit? Or does it mean that the Torah originally was written the way we have it in front of us, and it was written as if the Rabbanon would have made this edit in order that it should be written with a sensitivity towards Hashem? Of course, the second answer is correct. No such thing to make a mistake and say that the version we have of the Bible is not the original Bible. This is something which people who don't have a sensitivity to the Kedusha, to the sanctity of Torah, make a horrible mistake. And they read this Rashi, and they come away and they tell us, oh, you see what Rashi says? That the version of the Bible that we have today is not the original version. People have come along over time and they have tampered with the text. In the original version it said, Vayifnu Misham Ho Anoshim, Vayelchu Sodoma, VeHashem Oidenu Oimeid Lifnei Avraham. That's what some apikorsim will tell you. And they're going to tell you, this is not apikorsis, it says in Rashi. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, so how come it's not in the correct way? Tikun Soifrim Huza. This was an edit. This was an upgrade, a correction made by the scribes.
So why does it say the next pasuk Vayigash?
Vayigash Hashem, because that will get to that. Wait, we're not to that yet.
Avram,
that will get to that. In a Hanami, that goes to prove. That actually goes to prove Wait, it's not a kashka. Well, let's wait for it. Means it's he exerted himself to daven with kavana. That's not a kasha. That's we'll see in the next pasuk what the precise word of ayigash means. But over here,
you can also say tikkun seifrim here is this. It's a tikkun that the people should make the mistake. So you're saving the person from chas v'chalila learning apikurus.
No, I don't understand.
Not just saving it that apikurus is who learned this, but you're saving the guy. He should be punished, apikurus, because he may not understand and he'll learn the wrong shot.
Okay, but the words tikkun seifrim u'zeh, if you translate those words literally, okay, that's a separate point you're making. The point we'll make over here is that if you take these words and you translate them literally, you get the impression that the version of the Bible that we have today is not the original version.
The corrected version.
And therefore, that's a very dangerous thing, and that is why the way you translate these words tikkun seifrim u'zeh is very, very dangerous. I told you many times, and I wasn't in this class, but I remember hearing that Rabbi Brulovsky, I hope he's well, he must be a very old man now. He said when he was the fifth grade rabbi in Chaim Berlin, and we used to use the Pentateuch. The Pentateuch, which was the blue volumes that have the linear, the line by line translations. And there he was extremely disturbed as the way they translated the words Elatikun Saifrim Huzeh. He was so disturbed as the way they translated in the Pentateuch, the blue Chumash Rashi. He collected all of the books, all of the Chumashim from the entire class, probably about 30 kids, and he took them to the office, and he took a marker, and he crossed out what they wrote, and he wrote his own translation, because he felt that the translation that they wrote in that edition of the Chumash Rashi, which everyone grew up with and we lived on, was misleading. And it can lead a student to think that this is not the original version of the Torah, and that is false. This, when it says Tikkun Seifrim, what it means is that when Hashem gave us the Torah, Hashem, in the first, in the only edition, the only version, already changed it in the opposite form in order to teach us that when it comes to Hashem's honor, you have to be sensitive. So let's review what we learned over here. Over here, the Pasuk is telling us that Avraham escorted the angels. After Avraham escorted the angels, Hashem waited around. Hashem appeared to him. Hashem appeared to Avraham. Hashem came to visit Avraham now. And Hashem didn't leave. One more time, the words. Avram is not the one who went to Hashem. And Hashem said to him, you're right. So let's review the sequence of it. It's a little bit bizarre. When the Malachim came to visit Avram, they came for two missions. They came for the mission, number one, of healing him. Number two, they came to make an announcement about the Sarah. While the Malachim were still there, Hashem arrives. And I know, you know, Hashem was already there. You know,
Hashem was there before.
Before. So it's... Yeah,
because
yeah.
Right. Ran away from the Shekhinah.
Right, right. Okay, but it seems that the Malachim stayed around for a while. I don't know what... I don't know... You're right. I don't know... Right, fine. Okay, fine. Let's say Hashem never left. Okay, no, you're right. Let's say Hashem was always there from the very beginning. And Hashem was lingering around. He was loitering. No loitering, except for fear Hashem. Hashem stuck around all of this time. And as the Malachim were leaving, while the Malachim were there at the table, sitting at the table, and they were schmoozing, and they were looking at all the pictures on the wall, and they were talking, Hashem says to Avraham, I want to let you know something, that these guys at your table, they got to go. Send them off on their merry way because they have another job. I'm going to destroy Sodom. The revelation that Hashem will destroy Sodom happened while the Malachim were at his dining room table. While he was hosting these Malachim who appeared to be in the image of human beings. And from Rashi it seems that Avram never even found out that they were angels. He thought they were human beings. Hashem didn't tell him over here. Because if Hashem told him, he would have not, as Rashi implies, and the Mizrahi says explicitly, escorted them. So he, Avram, all along thought that these are human beings. And in the middle, he was talking to Hashem, and I told Hashem, wait a minute.
How many melachim did he have stored? Two or three?
So the Pashto, well, it has to be three. Now the question is, your question really is, how many malachim went to Sodom?
Two went to Sodom.
So how many, three angels, three people came to visit. So it has to be that he escorted three people. From the three that he escorted, how many of them went to Sodom, and how many went, you know, they went to the bus stop? So there's a bus going to Sodom, and there's a bus that goes to Yerushalayim. So one guy got on the bus to Yerushalayim, and the other two went to Sodom. How many went to Sodom is a separate question, but over here, Lachari is escorting three. Never at any point in time did Avram realize that these are angels. He thought they were human beings. But while they were in his home and he was hosting them, Hashem revealed to him. Hashem was having a conversation here and there with him. And he said to him, I want to let you know some bad news. This place called Sodom, they're done. They're going to be destroyed. So Avram absorbed this information. He proceeded to escort the Malachim on their merry way. He didn't know where they were going. He put them to the bus stop. And then, after they were gone, okay, Hashem, let's get back to business. Really? You're going to destroy Sodom? Not before I have my say. Not before I dive into you to prevent this from happening. That's how Rashi, it's a very complicated sequence of events. In kindergarten, they didn't teach this to us. Kindergarten, you think it's like completely separate stories. There's one story, another story. All of these things are happening according to Rashi simultaneously. Because and over here it says Vayifnu Misham, it says Vayifnu Ahuanash, Vayelchu Sodoma, the Avraham Odenu. The word Odenu means Hashem is still here, Hashem and Avram are still present, and they're present during all of this time. All of this time they've been around. And the revelation of Eredunah Vera Hakitsakasa Bola Asu Kolavim Lo Edah happened while the Malachim were still in the home of Avraham. Now, this is an opening for Drush, for the rabbi, on Shabbos morning to make a drasha. Why was that necessary? Why, if it's correct that Avraham never knew these were angels, so he has no clue that these very angels are going to be the ones now that they're going to destroy Sodom? He never knew that, Avraham. If he knew that, he would have taken them and tied them up and said, you're not going nowhere until I finish. Why was it necessary for Hashem to reveal himself to Avraham while the angels were there? Why? Let it be, it would be a much simpler story if the angels come to Avraham and they do it, they heal him and they tell Sarah good news. Avraham escorts them, they get onto the bus and they go. The next day, or maybe in the afternoon, he goes to Poznan and he davens mincha. And during the Shemona Esrei, Hashem is Megala. Guess what? I got some news to tell you. I'm going to destroy Sodom. Why is there a need for an overlap? And when there's an overlap, we get into all this trouble. Who's waiting for who? And now we have this whole lesson. You know, who's waiting for? Hashem is waiting. Hashem is waiting for Avraham. But it's not their heretz to say that Hashem is waiting for Avraham while he escorts them. We have to write that Avram Oidenu Oimid was still standing there. I don't know the answer. But one thing is very important though to bring out, and that is Avraham Avinu, he interrupts Hashem twice. If they ask you on an exam, a Chumash exam, how many times did Avraham interrupt his conversation with Hashem because they had something more important? It is the most rude thing possible when you're talking to a person, you're talking to them, and then they get a phone call, and they say, wait.
At the end of Lech Lecha, the story where Hashem tells Avram, you can have a son, Yitzchak. And Avram laughs, right?
Yeah.
So when did that happen? That happened now? No,
that was a revelation to Avraham. That was by after the Bris Ben Abbasur, by the Bris Mila. That was a completely separate story. That was by the Bris Mila.
So, did Sarah know about that story?
It seems not. It seems pretty clear the answer is no.
So Avraham laughed and Sarah laughed.
Sarah laughed in this week's parsha.
Right, and Avraham laughed in last week's parsha.
Correct.
So why does Rashi say that Hashem said to Abraham, you left, so you shouldn't blame Sarah.
Oh, okay. So you're asking the age-old question, why by Avraham is there no criticism for laughing, and so there is criticism for laughing. This is a question that every single commentary discusses. Okay, it's not for now. The Aruch Chaim, he says the best pshat. The Aruch Chaim says is that Sarah, when it says she laughed with exactly like Avraham, with the greatest joy possible. The complaint against Sarah was, what took you so long to laugh? Sarah only believed and laughed when her body was rejuvenated. When? She laughed.
Edna was before the Malachim told her.
No, it wasn't. It was after the Malachim told her.
Because
it was after.
Lushi,
I hear what you're saying. Okay, we have to go and check this out. You're asking good that from the Shudashal Mikra, it's mashma that she became a Nida even before the Malachim told her.
Just then.
Okay, you're asking good. So it doesn't matter how much, even if 10 seconds pass. One thing I know for sure, the Aruch Chaim says, when Hashem told Avraham, you're going to have a child, or maybe maybe what you're saying is even better. Maybe what your two statements answer both questions. Maybe back in Parashas Lech Lecha, when Hashem told Avraham you're gonna have a child, and he left. He told Sarah, "What do? You tell your wife. Whatever happens to you, you go tell your wife right away."
Right.
So he told Sarah. Sarah was silent. All right, good.
And she waited, and once she was parsing, neither she left.
Then she left. So the complaint.
She laughed before the Malachim told her, after the Malachim told her.
She laughed immediately when the Malachim told her, because she was already Parsanida. So the complaint.
She was Parsanida before, so she
at that moment, it was the same time. It was the same day. So the Aruch Chaim says the complaint against Sarah was, Avraham, when you laughed, there were no signs. You were 99 years. You were told you could have a baby. You're an old man. Whatever it was, how many years ago? Whatever it was, I think maybe it was 12 years ago. Maybe I think it was 12 years ago. I think 12 years back. You're already in your 80s. You know what? I told you this. You, Avraham, laughed immediately. There were no simonim. Your body did not rejuvenate at that moment in time. You were the same old shriveled guy. You know, the same person you were.
Right.
And you immediately had faith in me and you rejoiced. Sarah, this is what Aruch Chaim says, when she heard the good news, she just ignored it. Are you making a joke? She ignored it. When her body began to rejuvenate and it was reinforced with the Malachim telling her what's going to happen, then she believed. Hashem's complaint was, what took so long? Why
okay,
didn't...
I want to defend Sarah. I have a cold question. I know this is not what we're learning, but when a woman is parsanida, that means the egg that was there did not fertilize.
Okay.
Hashem didn't need her to have an egg that wasn't fertilized. When she could have been straight without Parsanida to become pregnant.
Okay, I hear what you say. I don't know what all this means. You're bringing up a bigger question. If she's Parsanida today, that means she already rejuvenated at least 30 days before.
Right.
Okay, something like that.
Give her a sign that she was going to have a child. If Hashem says you're going to have a child in a year, we're assuming, you know.
You're asking, go look, this.
Natural thing, suddenly she'll, accident, whatever you want to say, the egg comes down and it gets fertilized.
Okay, this is the old question. When you talk about miracles, Kriyas Yamsuf. So some people will tell you these are Mepharshim, which is a nasty approach. Is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings miracles for Klal Yisrael, he brings the miracles b'derech teva. So Hashem made a tsunami. He made a tsunami. So you go, you could say that the
media... Yeah, but so what was the big mess? That she was Parsanida or that she had a baby?
The fact that she rejuvenated to a young person, even though she was 89...
Becoming pregnant. When she became pregnant, she already rejuvenated.
Right, so you'll go through, oh, look, it's not, look, it's just a fluke. You have a woman, 89 years old, and somehow she found some minerals, and her body rejuvenated. So, of course, a woman who has rejuvenated, she found some type of vitamins and minerals. She took some medication, some that we don't know about, and it made her, brought her into her youth. So it's a teva. It's nature. It's not a miracle. 89-year-old woman to have a baby is if you don't take the medicine.
That argument is out because we know she was Ankara and he was an Ankara.
Look, today we know, today if you would go back, let's say 500 years ago, even 100 years ago, and you tell people about what goes on today with A Life and with what's it called and all these organizations, what are they called? Binyan Olam?
What's it?
Binyan Olam. And you will go all the way. Yeah. Could you believe they have here women who are like a little bit they're much older than the average woman who has children, and the doctors have told them things which basically means there's no way in the world they can have children. Al derech hateva, it's impossible. And you're gonna go tell them, oh, in the year 2020, there are nashim who have this condition. Let's say 500 years ago, I'm sure they had some medical knowledge. You go back 100 years ago, and then medical knowledge, and you're going to go say they have this exact condition, you know all about, and they're going to be this age. They're going to say, it's Baba Mayas, you're talking about Mashiach. You're talking about Yemosa Mashiach. A woman can have a child, husband can have a child. Baba Mayas. They're not going to say Baba Mayas. So today, when these things happen today, so it is a miracle. Don't kid yourself. It's a miracle for anyone to have a child, no matter how they are. Every child is a miracle. But these, what's happening, what these organizations are doing with technology, and this their technology, at least according to their own literature, is even greater what they're doing that goes on in the rest of the world. They claim at least that they are doing things that are more advanced than anything that's done in the entire world, if you believe what it says in their literature. Mamish, Nisim and the Flois. Nisim. But if you'll go and you'll talk to the doctors, you'll talk to people, not Nisim. We have technology. We know what we're doing. This is different because we have the technology. We know what we're doing. So therefore, Alterech HaTeva. So this is the age-old question. The age-old question is, when there are miracles that happen in the Torah, Kriyas Yamsuf, Sarah gives birth to a child, all of these things, was it a blatant, a lemala miderech HaTeva? Oh, when Hashem makes a miracle, Hashem tries to disguise the miracle to a degree, al derech hateva, in order to give the apikorsim an opportunity to say, big deal,
right.
This is an age-old question. Okay, let's go further. You know, it's even, I saw a video, this video blew my mind. You gotta go check out this video. I saw this video about Egypt. They show in Egypt, an ancient Egypt, They built these boxes. You hear about this? You Google this, Mayor. They built all over Egypt these boxes. A box to store things out of clay. And they used them I don't know what they used them for. The precision of these boxes, the shape and form, is...
Yeah, they had this problem with the pyramids. The pyramids are such a precise angle that they didn't have the instruments to measure them.
Exactly. But it's not only this... Forget about the pyramids. That's one schmooze. It's forget about it. You gotta see this with your own eyes. You gotta see this video with these boxes. They have these boxes. The precision on these boxes is literally beyond belief. Beyond belief. And then they show that they needed more of them in order to whatever. Maybe some of them broke. So they made new boxes later on. And the new box they made later on, they were just trying to copy them. And they're so inferior to these older boxes. And the only natural conclusion is, they had technology then that we don't know about. They had something and that way, way, way back, the Egyptians, they inherited something. And then it seems like in some point in time in their dynasties, they lost it. It was destroyed. Maybe at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Maybe at the time of
Yitzias. So you can say the same thing about the Luchas, that you had the Parchas Ba'avir, the Samach, and
You gotta see these videos of how they analyze these boxes, and it's just beyond belief They don't know. They mamish. No one knows how in the world they were able to make these things with extreme precision that even today they can't do. Ah, they can't do it, but today it can be done maybe at outrageous expense with enormous, enormous effort. And it seems these boxes are all over the place. They're all over the place. It's like bizarre. How do they do this? There were things they had that we don't know about. They're very, who knows? Okay, we have to go further. Let's go further. Okay, so we learned over here this thing over here about the Tikkun Seferim fine. We spent too much time on this. Let's now go over here of Aydenu Emel Lefnei Hashem. Okay, that's it. Now let's take a look over here at the Targum. Targum is very important. Targum on this Pasuk. We gotta find the Targum here, 1 second. Resources, Targumim, and the Targum, Unkelis, Al Bereshis. Okay, the Ispini Ubi Tamon. Okay, it means they turned. To be ponim from there, the word mitamon means from there. Guvraya, the men, the Anoshim. Vazalu Listol, the Avraham, Ad Ka'an. And what does that mean? Until now. See, Odenu means still, means Adkan, Mishamesh, he was serving, Bitzlod Kodom Hashem, in the shadow before Hashem. It would appear very clearly, and I notice over here he puts these two words in bold, it appears very clearly that Unkelis did not like Rashi's approach, or the other way around. Rashi did not like what Unkelis said. It appears that it's a fundamental difference. The question is a very good question. Avraham is Odenu Omeh, who came to who? What do you mean? What do you mean that Avraham is still standing for Hashem? Yeah. Hashem is the one that's waiting. Hashem is waiting for him. May you disturb my thought. I will say something very important. Just one small point before we go further. In last week's parasha Lech Lecha, we learned that Avraham he interrupted Hashem. It is the most insulting thing possible when you're talking to a person and your phone rings and you say to them, "Wait a minute, I have a phone call." Why is the phone call more important than talking to you? You I'm talking to, I'm looking you in the face, you're here live in the flesh, and the phone rings. So who cares the phone rings? So let the phone ring all at once. Why is everyone, every time you talk to someone, it's always more important, the person on the phone. And then when you answer the phone, most of the time, hello, we've been trying to reach you, we want to extend your automobile warranty. That's more important than talking to a person live in the flesh. Why? It's very insulting. Who's the one that, where does it come? Why do we do this, Mayor? Where does it come from? It's exactly what Avraham did to Hashem. Avraham is talking to Hashem, and then who shows up? Three Arabs, Aravim, who bow down to the dust of their feet. In other words, three people come to Avraham. They want to talk to him about his automobile insurance, the warranty. Three people show up. They want to say to Avraham, "We want to extend your warranty on your automobile." So what does Avraham do? So what does Avraham do? He says to Hashem, "Hashem, wait. There's someone here that's more important than you. They want to extend my warranty." It's exactly what he did. And then he did it a second time. Hashem is telling about Sodom. I'm going to obliterate the whole stone. It's going to be finished. So what is that? Hashem is telling him big news. He's going to nuke Sodom. Who knows how many people live in these five cities? Who knows? There could have been millions of people. We don't know who was living there. And what does Avraham say to Hashem? B'nei Shalom, excuse me, the three guys that came to extend my car warranty, I have to send them off. I have to talk to them.
This shows he didn't know they were malachim. Because if he knew they were malachim, he wouldn't have let them go so quickly.
All it shows is he knew they weren't Rashi Yeshivas. You don't have to say they were malachim. If they were Rashi Yeshivas, then he would say, "You Rashi Yeshivas, you wait. I'm talking to Hashem." Okay, he thought they were whatever. Twice. The point is twice. He interrupted Hashem twice. When the Malachim came, and when they left.
He was doing the fifth Shulchan Aruch, which came before.
Okay, when they came, and when they left. Both.
The Georgia that's the Shulchan Aruch that comes before the Torah.
When they came and they, because you know, you only learn in Yeshiva Katana, they only tell you that he interrupted Hashem when they came. They don't tell you that he interrupted Hashem when they left. This Rashi that we just don't tell us that he interrupted them when they left, not just when they came. Now, what does it say? So we have this whole kasha. Who's waiting for who? Hashem is waiting for Avraham. So Rashi gets all worked up. What? If Hashem is waiting for Avraham, why then does the pasuk say that Avraham was waiting for Hashem? So Rashi invents a new yesod. Tikun Soifrim. Targum doesn't like that. The Targum doesn't go for this. Tikun Soifrim doesn't like this. So what does he say? He says Avraham was Mishamesh. He was serving in the shadow. Was Mishamesh. He was not waiting. He was Mishamesh. He was serving in the shadow of Hashem. Now, what does that mean exactly? So let's go to the videotape, to the Ma'at, sorry, Parshas Vayera, Pasuk, Perek, always, which Perek is this? Which Perek? This is Perek Yudches, Pasuk Chavbeis. Perek Yudches, Pasuk Chavbeis. What does it say over here in the Ma'at Tzodi? Okay, Vayifdu Hashem Elchus Vav, Ovin Elchus Ne Hashem, and over here on the bottom, Ad Ka'an, Arata, Vakavona Adayin, Ulumilo Od Yesh, Keyesh, Hoyrosh Shaladayin. Okay, let me just show you what it's over here. Meshamish, here it is. Meshamish bitzilo. Meshoras bitzfilo. He learns oidenu oimeid means he was praying. Okay, the word bitziloi v'cheinu b'gemar v'yashma v'boker asher omad sham ein amid, this he's saying drush. He's saying over here chidushim that it does not say in the pasuk. Ma'at Sari is working very hard to explain on his own ideas. He's injecting here his own ideas to explain this targum. V'yam v'cheinu zin b'amid l'fnei, okay, ela shekosh sharei lo yisvah l'avram adai. Rak asher, rak.
The word shalusha means davening, right?
Bitzlo, yeah, mishamash bitzlo. Bitzlo means you're right. Okay, you're right. And why? Because the word, I made a mistake. You're right. It means to pray, right? Rak achash ol hakash baruch meinyan sim. So it says now. So how do we understand this? It means, so we have to go back to the word odenu. Now that we know, so one thing we already have a difference. Okay, let's go one step at a time. According to Rashi, the word omeid means to wait. You're waiting. I'm waiting. You're waiting for the elevator. You're waiting to be serviced in a restaurant. So Rashi is very disturbed. Who's waiting for who? Hashem is waiting for Avraham. Hashem was talking to Avraham, and then Avraham says to Hashem, wait, my guests are leaving. I have to go say goodbye. Hashem, you wait. So Hashem just sits around, does nothing. Hashem is talking to him. Hashem just now, he leaves him hanging. Hashem is waiting 10 minutes until Avram is scored. Then Avram comes back. Okay, Hashem, where were we up to? What a chutzpah. What a chutzpah. So Rashi doesn't like it. So Rashi said that's why the Pasuk switched it. The Pasuk says that it was Avraham that was waiting. So the word omeid, according to Rashi, means to wait. And that's why Rashi got into all this trouble with Tikkun Sofer. Targum says the word omeid means to pray, to daven. Doesn't mean to wait. So now, what does it mean that Avraham, what then does the word odenu then mean? So according to Rashi, the word omeid means to wait, it means still waiting. Okay, I'm still waiting for service. I'm here in the restaurant already for half an hour, and no one has come to take my order. Still waiting. According to Ungulus, omeid means he's davening. So what does it mean, odenu? It means, he translates, odenu means ad ka'an. So how does he translate here the word ad ka'an? Until now, adayin. Let's see, lemila od.
Adayin, he was continuing.
He says here, ad until ka'an. Let me see, lemila od yesh hoywa shel adayin, kamo b'shmos. Let me just see what you're talking about, odenu. Shepirush odu. Ayin ki'ilu hoya kosev rak od, but over here he translates the word ad. I don't have a good answer, but it would appear he's trying to say, I don't know if what I'm saying is accurate, means he davened again. He wants to say over here, Ad Ke'an. Ad Ke'an, until now. Kan means now. Oden means until now, but that's not how he's translating it. If the word Mishamesh means to serve in prayer, then again, I'm sure this is accurate. He's telling us that when Avraham, he digested what Hashem told him, he's going to destroy Sodom. He escorted the Malachim. And now Avraham, basically what it means is he went to the closet, he took out his gartel and his talis, and now he began fresh, a new prayer. He put on his battle gear. Adai means old, again, a new prayer. When else did Avraham daven to Hashem? He davened.
He could have been davening when Hashem was there before the Malachim came.
He davened to have children. We know that he davened to have children.
No. I learned to listen. Hashem comes to visit him, and Avraham stands up and he says, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam. And he says, you know, I'm tired, I'm depressed, because there's no one here to visit me that I can be made to do the mitzvah.
So he was davening that guests should come. He was davening for guests. He was praying
right.
for guests. Okay.
So then the guests came, so he stopped me. He had to take care of the guests. They came before Hashem. If they came before Hashem, they came before the davening.
So now it's a new event. It's a completely new event.
He was up to. He was up to Baruch Ata Hashem.
No, it's not a continuation. This is what he's saying. He's saying the word Odeh means owed. What is the word owed? Owed does not mean to wait. Owed, it means new. Owed means again. Again.
Again, he continued.
Not continue. This is something new. No, he didn't. That's what he's trying to say. He didn't continue. Avraham davened to Hashem for children. He davened for Hashem to save Lot. He davened to Hashem for many things. He davened to Hashem.
Right.
Now the people of Sidon, he davened to Hashem that he should have some guests come. He wanted to just give them food. Fine, the guests came. Now it was revealed to him before the guest left, Avraham, I got some bad news to tell you. I'm going to destroy Sodom. And Hashem, according to this pshat, Hashem left. I want to let you know I'm going to destroy Sodom. Have a nice day. I'm going. Goodbye. Hashem leaves. He leaves. Now Avraham is what? What did Hashem just say? He's going to destroy Sodom.
Why do you say Hashem left?
Because that's what he's trying to say. No. Hashem left. Hashem. What's the story? The previous pasuk. Hashem left. Pasuk Chaf Aleph says, Hashem says, Erdona v'yareh haketzakoso haboilei osu kolov yim lo eido. That's part. Vayomer Hashem. Zakah asidom v'amara ki roba v'chatasom ki chavdomar. Hashem is speaking to Avram. He told him the news. Now, after, and this goes all the way back. V'Avram v'Hashem omar. Hamechazim v'Avram Hashem yoyseh. V'Avram hoyo yeh ki yedati. V'ayomer Hashem zakas erdona. At this moment in time, this is what I'm saying, Hashem left. He picked himself up, the Merkava departed. Gone. Hashem went back to Shemayim. Gone. No more communication. Now, Avraham is sitting there at the dining room table. What? Hashem just said he's going to destroy Sodom. I can't believe this. He opens up his eyes, and who's still sitting there? The three people.
Okay, wait a second, hold on. You said that he escorted them.
No, it didn't happen yet. That didn't happen yet. Avraham is sitting at his home on the dining room table with the three men. He's entertaining the three men.
Who says he told his servants to bring them food, and Avraham went to the wall and continued davening?
No, that's not the sequence of events here. That's not what it says in the pasuk. Avraham got him them food. He's entertaining his guests. In the middle of the net. That's what he did, Mahari. That's the whole parasha, the whole first aliyah. That's what it says. He was entertaining them. And they're still here. They didn't leave yet. And then what happens? He says, excuse me, I have a phone call. Who's on the phone? The Ribbono Shel Olam is calling. I have to have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Excuse me, please. Excuse me, the red phone is ringing. He picks up the red phone, goes into his office, has a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, we have a situation. Meet me in the situation room. We have a situation. I'm going to nuke Sodom. And you hear Avram? That's, I want to let you know because I love you. I want to let you know because it's your property. I just want to let you know what's going to happen. Have a nice day. And now there's a dial tone. He puts down the phone. He goes back into the dining room. And who's there in the dining room? The guests are still there. So he says to the guests, okay, guys, it's time for you to go. Get out of here. I have work to do. And he escorts them. Get yourself. You're very good. I gave you a good, delicious meal. That's it. It's time for you to go. Kol ma shayom lecha balabaya sasei. And in my case, including tzei, time to get out of here. He escorts them to the door, opens up the door, gives them whatever they want, and he escorts them out. He comes back home, closes the door, he goes into the closet, takes out his strimal, his bekesha, and his garatel, and his tehillim, and then he says, okay, battle gear, battle stations. Avraham now, one thing he's very good at, he's good at davening. Now he begins to daven again. A new mission. What is the new mission? To pray for the people of Sodom. Hashem says the bad news. Zimlo Eda. Hashem hangs up the phone. Avram goes back to the dining room table and he tells the people, get out of here. I have some business to take care of. I have more important things than to entertain you. The Chorban's coming. He goes, Vayifnu Misham, he goes to the people, he tells them, get out of here. Vayifnu Misham, Anash, Vayelchu Stoma. Now that they're gone, he gets rid of them, he escorts them, he goes back home to his house, and he takes out his Tehillim, the Avraham, according to the Targum, Odenu Miloshon Od. A new mission. He once again, he puts on his tefillin and his talis and all of his stuff, takes out the tehillim. He begins again to omei to pray lifnei Hashem.
Okay, disagree.
Okay, fine. That's
listen
fine.
When I disagree.
Yeah.
Hashem says, I can't keep a secret from Abraham. I tell him, right?
Yeah.
He tells them while the men are still in the tent. He tells them.
Yeah, I'm listening.
And then he tells the Malachim, get out of here. Hashem tells them. They're his Malachim, right?
Yeah, who tells them to get out of them? Hashem tells them? Fine. Okay.
Get on with your job.
Yeah.
And they listen.
Okay. Okay.
It doesn't say Abraham told them anything.
They left. Fine, they left. Okay, fine. That's not an important point. Yeah.
And what does Abraham do meanwhile,
yeah.
Abraham,
but he has to first escort them. He has to escort them.
No, it doesn't say he escorted them.
The Targum himself said he escorted them. It says,
but I'm telling you, the
pasuk
doesn't say he escorted them.
Vayakumu misham ho'anoshim.
Right, it doesn't say that he got up with them. It doesn't say that.
Look what it says in the Targum. The Avram ho'leich imam l'shalachom.
Look at the
pasuk. Read back. Go back. Pasuk Tezayin. Tezayin. Vayakum. Go back. Vayakumu misham ho'anoshim. Vayashkif al pnei sodom. Avraham hoylech imam l'shalchem. Avraham ozel. He went to escort them. And now in the middle, it says in both Rashi and the Targum, la'al v'voyehoyim. He went to escort them. We did this yesterday. He went to escort them. And in the middle of Avram escorting them, he gets a phone call. Hashem is calling. And Hashem tells him, you got a problem over here.
Right, so what does he do while he's getting the call?
He tells the people, wait a minute. He tells them.
He says, I got to take this
call. Right.
And they continue walking.
And he's also walking with them. They stop going. And after he finishes taking the phone call, he proceeds to continues to walk them out and walk them. And then it says, Odenu. What does it mean, Odenu? It means Hashem was on hold. Did he put Hashem on hold, or did he hang up? That's the machloikas.
No, go to this pasuk we're talking about.
Okay, I don't want to keep everyone. It's late. I don't keep them too late. It's late here. Okay, Rabbi Sai, we're going to stop here. I'll continue with Meir myself. I'll fight it out. Ablaza, thank you for coming. Heshi, thank you for coming. Ms. Glatter,
good night,
Norman.
Everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Okay, go to the pasuk. Vayichnu misham ad Hashem.
Yeah.
Vayichnu to the Avraham. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, if I would have been writing this pasuk, I would have said, Vavram halach im hadashim vayechus adema v'hu oidena oimei. It's two different things here. That Vavram is a different phrase.
Exactly, it is.
Right, so what I'm telling you, the way I'm learning Pshat, is that Yifnu misham hadashim has nothing to do with Avram. They were told to go, and they went. They left there, and they went to Sodom. And Avraham, meanwhile, was standing at davening. He was talking to Hashem. He didn't go with them. He got up to go with them, but they left. They were told, get out of there.
All right.
That's the way I was learning the Pshat.
All right, okay. I hear.
You know? Then I have no question.